Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
It's Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. I'm Bill Gross, and this is our Probate Mastery Real Estate Coaching Call. We do every week. The goal here is to help us build our communal real estate probate-focused business with your realtor primarily in sales and brokering, as well as an investor or wholesaler. But really, the focus here is more about selling, listing property, what that process looks like. Just some quick housekeeping so we know we're in the same spot. Probatemastery.com is the sponsor, is the source of our coaching and programming and such, probatemastery.com. And there's a couple different paths. If you want just the basics, there's a bunch of free material you should take advantage of. I always tell people, and I, you know, they haven't told me to stop saying this, you know, exhaust the free stuff first. I think once you've done that, you should have some momentum and clarity what you want to do. And if you want to get certified, you can click here and get the details on Probate Mastery's program I use to get certified. I've actually been certified through three or four. For my money, this is the only one that doesn't just get me a certificate and some basics, but teaches me really the attitude that come from and the industry and inspired me to really build a great business starting 5 years ago. And there's other courses as well. Individually, I actually teach on one of these on how to get business from attorneys and other courses. So feel free to check that out as well. And then we continue the conversation. Facebook page, I page you to Estate Professionals Mastermind. We have over 7,000 members. You should post questions there. Continue the conversation. Now, separately, actually, I'm going to change this. I host probateweekly.com, which is a weekly interview format. We have attorneys and vendors. You can register here for free. And then if you want to see the YouTube past episodes, you can click on that, or if you want to listen to it in a podcast format as well. So that's what I do. And then there you can continue that conversation on Probate Weekly on my Facebook page. Love to have you there. If you get in touch with me, you can click on my link tree, linktr.ee/Bill Gross, has everything that I'm doing there, all my social media and stuff. Love to participate with you guys. Now, this call is meant to be participative. When we started this, the idea was that we needed to continue the conversation to be successful, that probate mastery is not a destination, but a process. And so for me personally, there was another company I was involved with initially, All the Leads does a nice job, and they have a call. For my money, that call, I find the first 20, 30 minutes is either is advertising the program or about cold calling petitioners. And while marketing is important, there's so much more to this business than just cold calling. And I believe what helps me get business today, I took my first listing of the year this week, actually on Sunday. I think I'm my second or third here lined up pretty quickly. But what helps me get business is not just my cold calling, but the knowledge of the process, the knowledge of the people, the knowledge of the players. And that's the goal of this call, is to share best practices, work together, challenge each other to continue to grow and be better at our craft. And that way we can earn more business by being better rather than just getting more business by calling more people, if that makes sense. So there's nothing wrong with that if that's your approach. As cold calling, I did that for a good part of my career. But the challenge here that I'm going to give to you is to have business come to you because you're so good and so valuable to people, they want to work with you. I literally had leads today. I'm a little bit late starting this call because I was working on a lead I got from an attorney who needs me to help me get the petitioner to get the property on the market and get it sold. They've been playing around with it for 6 months. And of course, the attorney won't get paid until the property is sold. So that's what the position we want to be in ourselves. And so that's what I'm here to help out with. I'm a broker in Los Angeles, California. I have a national team of agents across the country. I'm adding two. If you're interested in talking about that, we can talk about it. But I'm familiar with most states. But I believe there are certain practices that are good practices across the country. Good fundamentals are good fundamentals. And so you want to really focus on doing those things that are going to help you be successful in the long run. And just to share a quote I got from a great football coach, Mike Tomlin, a coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I believe he's had a winning record every year he's been a coach in the NFL, which is unusual because every team has ups and downs with injuries and such. And it's really about do the little things correct every day. And that's my challenge to you. I literally gave a referral to a great agent who makes a lot of money, who said he was certified in probate. It was fascinating to me. He had really never read the disclosure. In California, we have the probate, the purchase agreement probate advisory form that should accompany the offer. And you got the offer on his listing without that form attached. So you have to counter it, you have to add it back in. And he never really had read it. And for those of you in California, it often surprises agents when you counter, when you put in the MLS, the proper disclosure, if you have limited authority, court confirmation is required. If you have full authority, the proper verbiage is court confirmation may not be required. That's right off of the form. And why is that? Because it may be required. We think it's not going to be required. If you have full authority, it probably won't be required. But if you have an objector or creditor who objects, it might end up needing court confirmation. And I've done court confirmations for that reason. And so that seems like a little thing, but that just comes from reading the form and being knowledgeable, doing those little things. So that's what I'm going to challenge you to. Yes, it's great to cold call 3 hours a day. Yes, it's great to have dialers and all this technology. But I do think you'll make as much progress if you learn your craft and become valuable and learn how to explain that to customers than any phone calling you can do. So this is meant to be participative. Love you to raise your hand or put a question in the chat box. And that's what we're here to do. I can talk about probate all day long. I do. And JD laughs because you know I'm right. I could talk and I would do it gladly. I'm trying to be polite and say, here's your chance for free coaching. We don't charge for this. It's part of the package. Love to have you jump in. Love to have you participate. Like I said, either raise your hand or put something in the chat box. So I'll catch my breath, have some coffee. Who's got a question I can help with? Or who has a victory you want to share? Or who has a challenge, a temporary failure that you're going to overcome? Anybody?
If nobody else wants to go, I'll throw something out there.
There you go, Janie.
And believe it or not, in two conversations in the last month, there are families where one family member has changed the title to the real estate without the other family members knowing. In one case, the parent was still alive, but gravely ill. And the other one, the parent was gone already. But it's like, wow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that these kinds of things are not only occurring, but I would say are occurring more often as our country gets older, and as our I just hear about these cases all the time. And how do you make money at it? How do you protect your family? All these are things that are happening. And how do we as realtors, advise our customers to be protecting of themselves? Definitely a constant and growing challenge/opportunity, right? It's a challenge if you have family members that you have to be careful with. And it's an opportunity if you learn how to talk about these things, then you can be the source of solution for your customers. So definitely.
But it's interesting because it's like you walk in and you think, oh, it's just going to be an administering of whatever. And then you go, oh, there's a little bit more jumble here than. And it was interesting, at least one, I can't remember the second one, the way they found out is they received the notice from the assessor that says something, some notification that ownership title has been changed. And so the other family members were like, what?
You know, in California, the LA County in particular has gotten very focused on this area because there's so much crime and litigation related to transferring of properties. It used to be that you could literally record anything and the county would just take and record it. Now the county really goes back and checks. They almost do a preliminary title report. They go back and look at the chain of title and want to make sure the names are right, that the documents have the right property referenced on it, the APN number and such. That didn't used to be the case, because this is an area of increasing crime. And I think all of us as realtors should be talking about to our customers, preparing our customers, warning them, offering solutions. Like one is, hey, I can check your public records for free. Let's make sure the property is still deeded in your name. I had an aunt who's living with a full-time caregiver, and the The caregiver gave us no specific reason to believe she would do anything dishonest, other than it's not uncommon for caregivers to do something dishonest. And so I just put on my to-do list to check title every 60 days. I went online and checked the public records and make sure there was nothing recorded against the property, because that's what happens. And if you catch it quickly, it's an easier solution than if it sits there for a couple of years, then it gets to be a little harder. But yeah, I see these cases all the time. Well, good. Are you getting, now are you turning, are you able to convert those situations into listings, Janie?
I have them in process. We are in, I am at, you know, advising. So I'm certainly working on it.
Nice. Good. Well, that's the goal. And I think the more people's problems that you're in discussion with, the more opportunity you have to, you know, make money. And that's because we get paid to solve other people's problems. Good. Sure.
Are we done with this? I don't want to interrupt.
You're not interrupting. You're good, I think.
Okay. So I had an incident. Of course, I'm already closed and I got through the process. But it was about communication. And what it was is there was not, I'm familiar with probate. I'm here in North Texas. And one of the contacts out of four was the one that I was very connected with. Our kids went to school together. So that's how I acquired the business and had sold actually their mom and dad's place. You know, it was, that's who it was. And so I had already recommended to make sure that they had gotten it through probate, where everything was connect with brothers, sisters, everybody, make sure everything gets in order. So they did so and followed them through the process. Once they decided to get it listed, everybody was on board, had the Zoom meeting with every single one of them, organized that. Now, mind you that out of the four, one lived closest to me. One lived an hour away. Two of them lived about 45 minutes to an hour away. One of them lived in California. So different time zones, they all work, you know, just different schedules, all being said. So as we made it clear on how we were going to communicate and said that we obviously can't get on the phone at the same time. We can organize a Zoom meeting if we need to come together, or if we want to make it a call, we can get together that way, but we have to be all on the same understanding of what time it's going to be. It can't be spontaneous. And they understood that. So most of the communication was going to be through text messages, whether they be short messages or through emails or a follow-up from an email. So all that was, expectations were set ahead of time. As we go through, we get it sold pretty quick because they listened to me. We actually took the first offer, which was good that we did because I didn't want to do no repairs, none. It was a mobile home on some acreage. And nowadays, which this was a new learning experience for me, it didn't matter whether it's conventional or FHA, everything has to be retrofitted. Okay, that's fine. Found a company who would retrofit it and be paid at close. Awesome. So they ended up netting. Well, everything was communicated to them, even with the expenses and being paid at close. Nothing was out of their pockets ahead of time. So they didn't have to worry about that. They also didn't have to worry about, you know, that it was going to cut into their net proceeds, because they actually ended up netting what they expected. With all being said, property appraised, all that. Go along the way, there were three sisters, one brother. Somehow, some way, and I have yet to figure out how, and I know you can't see the communications, but just imagine the most professional standpoint that you can be, being very careful with your words and being sticking to facts and covering your file to the fullest and answering questions. And we got three ladies back at me, just basically arguing. Communication just got mumble jumbled. I mean, it was terrible. So I didn't know exactly what I could have done differently as far as communication goes when you have this, because there was not one that was assigned to be a executor. They didn't want that. They all four wanted to sign. So I am curious as to what recommendation I could get as far as communication when you've got a similar situation like that ahead of you?
Well, you know, I think on behalf of anybody listening to this, we have to be modest enough to say, you know, I can't necessarily criticize your actions because I don't know as much as you do about the situation. I only know the facts you just gave me and I picked up. And I think what I would say is that, you know, when I talk to top probate attorneys, the difference between the best and the average is the best not only know the probate, the laws, the procedures, but also have the best communication system set up. The soft skills are as important as the hard skills. And so what you're talking about is a question we should all work on. How do we improve our communication skills? One rule I try to use is I would say two things I focus on. One is I want them to set the appointment with me. So I use Calendly as a tool, and I have an option where you can make a Zoom call. And the nice thing about Zoom call is they can either come in video or phone call. Works either way. And so I say to them, why don't you pick a time that works for you and let them handle it, hash out setting the appointment, because they can drive yourself crazy with that part. Second thing I would say is that you have to over-communicate in the beginning to develop trust in any relationship. So whatever you think is a reasonable amount of communication in the beginning, do more. You're kind of depositing in the bank account of trust so that when you need it, it's there. I'm not saying that we solved your problem. I'm just giving you my strategies.
Sure.
The third is the realization that as real estate agents, I don't know about you, Cher, I don't think we've met before, but most of my business up until I got into probate were with people who either were buying a house, which meant they saved some money and they had some income, or owned a house already. And those people are already cut above economically than people who their whole adult lives have never bought a house. Or I was just on the phone with a client who's out of state, much lower income. When you live in a small rural area and you're renting a mobile home, your economic process is less efficient than somebody who's making better income and buying a house. And I'm not saying that to say they're less than as far as people. I'm pointing out that their skill set's different. They might have other great assets and skills, but setting appointments, communicating, remembering what they said, building relationships aren't them. And understanding that that's the nature of the beast, that's what we're getting paid for, to not take it personal and to know that's the challenge. And I think I was chatting with an attorney of mine who he referred me a client who's completely crazy. And I got the house sold. And you know, I did what we talked about, and 95% of the way she was just abusive to me on the phone, but I didn't let it bother me. And at the end, she was very nice. I closed it, did a great job. She was very appreciative. Now the attorney is finishing up the probate and he's texting me how much he hates her because she's impossible. I get paid good money to deal with impossible people. That's okay. I don't think it's personal. My grandsons still love me. My daughter still loves me. My son-in-law respects me. My wife still loves me. Doesn't matter what the customer says. My job is to do my job. And I know I'm helping them where other people would have dropped them because they're difficult. Now, that's not for everybody.
Right.
And you have to make the decision that that's something that you want to do or not in life. Personally, I never decide to market myself as a divorce real estate agent, like people have suggested, because I'm married. It's hard enough to be married without talking to people getting divorced every day. Talking to probate people is tough enough. If I was talking to people, can you imagine every day talking to husbands whose wives cheated on them, wives whose husbands cheated on them? If that's all you talk to all day long, now if I was a single guy looking to cheat on, or I was single and I'm looking to have relations with divorced women or married women, great. But that's just not where I want to be in my life. So I avoid that. Probate isn't for everybody. And I'm not saying you're saying that it should be for you. I'm just saying, for, you know, the three points I wanted to make for everybody on the call, and the third one being, this is the world we deal with. And I would challenge you to accept it and be of service to people. And I'm always reminded of the saying from the book, The Course of Miracles, that all communicate, in fact, my daughter reminded me of this yesterday, All communication is either an expression of love or a cry for help, which means that all communication is either an expression of love or a cry for help. If that's not an expression of love, which it isn't, it's a cry for help. And so when people come back at you, even though you did everything right, as long as you know it's them and not you, you know, you can do a better job mm-hmm. to avoid them being able to say it to you, but don't take it personal.
Right, right. And that was a challenge, not to take it personal. And I worked through that process. Got disconnected with a few of them, but that's okay. I know I did my job. I did it efficiently. That's why I brought it up, is communication, because like you said, I think you brought some great points. Where you think your communication is on point, go one above.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's what I learned from that experience. I don't know if it would have made it any better, but at least I could have gone that one step further just to make sure, to seal the deal, if you will, as far as how I present my services to help those folks.
I also think that, you know, there's another saying, all you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't do more, but sometimes you're juggling, you know, other business or family or whatever's going on, and you can only do as much as you can, and they're being unreasonable. Well, it'd be nice to do more, but sometimes you don't have that opportunity. It's enough. It is what it is, and learn to accept that. And I think, again, it gets down to acceptance of yourself and acceptance of other people in the long run. Great. Well, Cher, thank you for sharing that. Congratulations on the victory of recognizing all that. Let me ask you this. What lessons have you learned going forward?
Well, going forward is definitely something I don't want to walk away from doing any type of probate sales. I actually want to look further deeper into it.
Good.
Because I've worked several. This just happened to be one case that did spark a little bit differently. And I just want to tweak on that communication. That's what I've learned from it, is how I actually organize my communication to make sure that that it's on point with communicating the same and transparency with everyone.
Well, good. I think that's the key. As long as we get better and improve, in the long run, it's going to work itself out. And I think that sounds like that's what you're doing. So congratulations on that victory. And I think also if you at least learn from every setback, then you are always winning rather than just when you get contracts. So I love getting listings and I love getting escrows closed, but I also know that it's a process and you don't always get the contract, but sometimes the failure is where you learn the lesson for the next one. So good job.
Thanks.
Okay. So let's see here. Emily points out, well, what about having the group choose one point person to communicate with? Yeah, Emily, that sounds great, but sometimes they just don't do it, or the person they choose is the weaker sibling, and the other ones still overpower them, even though they've chosen them to be the point person. So, you know, yes, it's certainly easier. And so what I've tried to do is, again, send it to them to make the appointment set, or maybe have one designate to make those appointments, and you'll find, at least my experience, the more I communicate, they start to drop off. It's not that interesting. Once they realize you're trustworthy, then they're not interested anymore, because it should work at that point. Administering an estate just is a job for most people. And so, the goal would be to have somebody take the point, but as Cher pointed out, in her case, there are four of them and they all wanted in on it. That's because none of them trust each other. Well, if they don't trust their siblings, they're sure as heck not going to trust you. Just know that's how it is. You have to earn that trust. Again, that was the process. What do we do when they don't trust us? Good. Other questions, comments, issues, problems, successes, victories? Who has a new listing so far this year besides me? That's exciting. I'm excited to have one. Or who has new escrow open this year already? I'm like that close to a great escrow. I mean, like that close. Anybody? No? Who lost a deal already this year that you're upset about? Okay, so Jeannie, I don't know what that was. Thumbs up. Hopefully that means you got an escrow close, maybe, Jeannie. I'm not sure what.
No, actually, I got one and lost one. My client, well, they said they were, her mother passed away. They said they were going to move in it and redo it. And all of a sudden, I find out they sold it to an investor. However, I'm looking for them a house to buy. So I still have them as a client, but I thought I was going to get that house to list it.
Yeah, you know, I think that we have to make sure when people say they're not going to sell the property, everybody's going to sell a property at some point in their life, either alive or death. They're going to sell it at some point. And so we make sure that we treat that way, stay in touch with them that way. That's why rather than, for me, having a marketing funnel, you know, like they just filed funnel, you know, send them an email every month or call every week or whatever that sequence looks like, I put everybody into a database of my contacts and I communicate with them at least weekly. And that way I never lose touch with those people. Because what you don't want to do is lose touch with them. We all think that people think, even our best friends, they all think about us all the time. They really don't. We're all busy. We're all distracted. We're all get pressure to make decisions. But I think the question you have to look at there, Jenny, is what might you have done that they might have called you before accepting the offer that maybe you might have said, hey, maybe I can get you more, or maybe put in the market and get a better outcome. And I don't know what that is, but my suspicion is if we looked at how many contacts you had with them from the time they told you they weren't going to sell until you found out that they had sold, there are a couple opportunities missed that maybe if you had participated a little bit more with them, they would have responded.
Absolutely. I could kick myself for that.
Well, and so don't kick yourself, but I would say, you know, try to resolve, well, what can I do? And that's where I went from, you know, focusing on funnels to just, I said, I'm going to send something to everybody I ever talked to every week forever. So I know when I'm talking to somebody, I send out my email on Monday morning. Everybody I talk to, every lead, every prospect is going to get that regular email every Monday. Now, it doesn't mean they open it. I do have about a 40% open ratio. And I do know that when they get emails from me, somehow magically that triggers Google or Facebook to show other social media content that I'm posting there too. I don't even know how all that works. I just know it does. And so I'm posting there as much as I can. And so I think all of us have to think about being more consistent in our outreach and not rely on, I know that companies love selling real estate agencies, very complicated, fancy, you know, decision tree, sequences of emails and sequences of texts and calls. But I do think you need to at least email everybody once a week. I do think you need to post on your social media every week minimum. And you should be trying to contact everybody that you talk to. So get their email, add them to your list, get their social media, add them to your list. I think those things are really important to stay in touch with people. Okay, who else has a question, challenge, victory, loss? Are you guys just getting off it's the beginning of the year still? Come on, tell me that's not where you guys are at. Because I'm up and running. I'll tell you this. I see Dave Pinnell on the call, and we want to say hi. One of my marketing techniques is I have a podcast probably weekly. I also interview attorneys individually one-on-one. And you know, I had to start out yesterday was Monday, right, with booking my probate weekly, and I'm now booked through March 7th. So I have the next 10 people already booked, which is great for me because most of those are people who either referral sources or generate good publicity for my business. And I have a couple other interviews I schedule as well. So I'm up and running full steam ahead. I just recommend get the cobwebs off if you're still hungover from Christmas. That was a couple of weeks ago. If you're still looking at leftovers for Thanksgiving, time to throw them out and get back to work. Because guys like me are up and running, and I'm going to take as many listings as I can. No offense. If you're too busy for them, though, I'm not too busy. So, Dave Pinnell, what's up? What's going on in Dallas, Fort Worth metro area?
Not a whole lot. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Yeah, we're ramping up for the new year. We took all of December off.
Okay.
So, but yeah, this year, my big goal is to get that social media and omnipresence in place. And we just hired someone today. It's actually going to be a campaign about $15 to $2,000 a month just to retarget all the data we've ever purchased and then all the current stuff or any leads in our database. So It's going to be great. Should be able to prove something in 90 days.
Definitely. I think
I got you beat. I got 3 listings and 2 pending already from probate.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're probably all together combined.
No. And I got one more. Going to be a wholesale here. Hopefully meet in this couple days. They just got the letter, so we're seeing when they're going to get in town.
I have somebody bring me a deal. We've all heard these stories where an investor approaches somebody with some ridiculously low price and they get into escrow. And I had a colleague approach me and say, hey, my client was approached for a property that's worth about $1.5 million, but they're just anxious to get an escrow and their terms for $900,000. Do you know somebody, do you want to put on the market and get somebody? I said, no, I'll buy it. I'll buy it for those terms. If it's worth 1.5 and I could buy it for 9, and so we're like that close to that contract. So I don't know that SF. I guess I'd be technically a flip, but my plan would be get under contract and then wholesale before we close escrow. But
yeah, those numbers are amazing. Mine are normally $80,000 purchases and sell for 150. I have an appointment for a referral that I'm going on right now. It's a foreclosure probate. Actually, they foreclose in 3 weeks. I'm leaving here right after this call. And they have actually 27 days to sell the property.
What's the possibilities of getting a foreclosure sale delayed in a probate case in Texas? And California is pretty easy to do.
It all depends on if they want to file bankruptcy temporarily. We call it a ghost bankruptcy. That's not always advisable. If they could get the number they want $10,000. So their house is actually worth about 180 and they owe 110. So it's something that we could probably list, but we only have 27 days. So I'm going to have to talk to them about maybe wholesaling it
right
for like 140.
And I think the thing that for those who are listening that you got to get is that problem is an opportunity for Dave, right? I mean, we feel bad for the customer. They're facing foreclosure and it's complicated and stressful. But those are the situations that we get paid on is solving those problems, right?
Yeah, so, and most agents, I think, go in and they want to list that property because they want a listing, and then they don't consider you're still making either the same amount of money or more. And wholesaling, there's nothing wrong with it. I've gotten over it over the years. I don't take advantage of anybody, but if they need to sell in, I mean, literally 7 to 14 days it takes to get through title. So, and then the payoff normally takes about 21 days for the bank to give it to us. Right. So 21 days to 27 days. That's not a big window in real estate. To get another real estate agent, a buyer's agent involved, inspections and appraisals, and it's very confusing to most buyer's agents what we have to do in the next 3 weeks. And that's just, it hurts the deal.
It's like the lead I just got was the opposite, where the customer wants to sell the house. The real estate agent, who doesn't really sell any property in MLS, made her a cash offer. And I think that, it's challenging, and referred by your attorney, and they don't need the money. They're not facing a foreclosure. I would say they'll need the money right away. They're not facing a foreclosure. So why would they insist on a cash offer and close quickly? It's almost like, they're going around the world looking at everything as a nail because they have a hammer rather than the appropriate tool for the situation. And so, excuse me, for all of us, I think we all should learn. I'm basically a realtor. I'm looking to list houses. This is my primary business. But
yes,
when there's a chance to flip a house that meets my personal criteria as an investor, I'm definitely open to it, right? I mean, I'm not one to buy a house and rehab it. I just don't have the patience or skill set. So I'll bring in another investor and I'll wholesale that property because I'm not going to do the fixing up. I'm just not interested, too busy. But I can offer the customer a listing or, as a principal or as a wholesale. I think it's important to have those three tools in your toolbox so you can bring the right tool to your customer for their solution, not just pick the tool that you're comfortable with, because you'll either misapply it or miss opportunities.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Dave.
And it's so good to get those referrals too. We're at the point where we're getting calls for stuff like that. So it's nice to, you help my neighbor or whatever, And then it's the same kind of deal. It's great. It's awesome. You're kind of a universal agent. You're a universal agent that solves problems. I love it.
Right. I solve people's real estate problems. The basic problem area is probate and litigation related to probate. But, you know, it's solving their problem. And sometimes it's just they want the house sold. And sometimes they don't care. Sometimes they do care. And so your job is to figure out what it is that they want.
Most times they don't, Bill. Most times they don't want to hire a real estate agency. You got to be cautious of that. You'll walk in and walk out of the appointment, and then they'll take someone's cash offer 40% off.
Yeah.
Just to save money.
Because we don't really appreciate how hard it is. Again, the probate customer, in my experience, is different than the standard customer. When you go list a house to somebody who owns a house, they've been through the dance before. They know the lingo. They're comfortable with it. They think they know as much as you do. That's the problem. Many probate customers have never owned a house, had no idea they'd ever buy a house in their lifetime. It's beyond their ability. And if you say to them, hey, I could go through all this paperwork and all this process, or just hand you a check, many of them would prefer just be handed a check. And so we have to be aware of what the customer wants, not what we want. So sometimes I deal a lot with litigation where it has to be listed because the court, there's litigation involved and there's, you know, warring parties and such. That's kind of where I specialize here in LA. But when the customer says, hey, I just want the cash, great, I'll get it for you. We'll figure it out somehow. At the right price, we can get that done. Cool. Okay. Any other questions, challenges, problems?
Hey, this is Derek Walzer.
Hey, Derek, what's going on?
Not much. Just I wanted to reach out to you guys. I actually have been talking with a guy. I was actually driving with dollars and found this home. It actually has fire damage. Let's see. It actually has fire damage. Mm-hmm. The home itself is not so much. It was had a AC unit that caught fire, so there's a little siding that needs to be done. But the most damage of the property has been the foot that's all in the property. Now, just wanted to know y'all's take. Have y'all ever dealt with a home dealing with fires, and you know, just something to be cautious of going into it when flipping it or anything?
I have sold a property that was a two-story house where the top story and back of the first story were burned. So if you looked at the house from the front, it looked like it was a one-story house. But if you went inside the door, you would see the fire damage inside the ceiling and roof and stuff. And the first thing I'd say is, you know, be careful of letting people on the premises because there is a legal liability issue. And Derek, where do you do business?
I'm in North Carolina.
I can't speak to North Carolina, but in California, we're very litigious. So I'd make sure my client had insurance and make sure I restricted access to the property because you want people walking around. By definition, fire damaged properties are unsafe. It's interesting. There are people who love buying fire damaged properties. There's like a whole world of fire damaged property investors that come out of the woodwork for these properties. So you want to make sure if you're going to list it, put fire damage in the MLS or however you market it. There's people who look for that and kind of appreciate that. The other thing is, I would say in my experience, the one that I did was most people said the whole home was a teardown. But I did find an investor who said, well, actually, the front of the house and the two sides were structurally sound. And he had a way to clean up or whatever he was going to do to it. And because of his projections, his cost to rebuild was a lot less than all the others. As a result, he could afford to pay more than the others could to buy the house. So I was looking to list it in this case. I wasn't looking to flip it or wholesale it. I had a client who wanted me to list the property. And we did. But once he started talking about salvaging this wall and that wall and such, it made the property more valuable than a teardown. And as a result, we got a great price. And it's one of those deals where people say, this property is not worth that much. Well, not to you, because you saw it as a teardown. But to this guy, he saw kind of $100,000 of value he was salvaging. Therefore, it was worth it to him. So find out, you know, what is salvageable or not. I don't know your case, but any value there is valuable, I would think.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks, Dirt. Nice to chat with you. And there's Cher and Dave Pennell, neighbors. Be careful there, Cher. Be careful that Dave Pennell guy. He's kind of a shady guy. He is not actually, I love Dave. He's actually going to be a guest on my podcast. Again, he was a big, very popular guest. I just got him booked for late February. So no, I think a lot of David. So you guys should have coffee together and meet and share info. He's a great, be a great resource for you. Okay, other questions, comments? You don't have to if you guys are busy, but I'm available.
I am looking for agents in Fort Worth area, Dallas.
You looking for agents to join your team, or are you looking for them to do?
Yeah, or corporate sponsorships. So if someone's in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, or all over nice. Texas, really. I want to grow that part of it.
I am. Very nice. You can call me. I'll put my information in the chat.
Okay.
Great, Jenny. Thanks.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of leads in the next 30 days with Sierra blowing up with what we're about to do. So,
who's Sierra?
Just the CRM we use and the data.
Oh, got it. Oh, yeah. We were marketing. Good. Good for you.
And nice. We were on vacation, Bill, when you did your email marketing class. So if you want to send me the recordings, it'd be great.
Did you sign up for it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Send me an email. I'll reply back with the links.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it. I have an email masterclass. I've been doing it. In fact, we do it again tomorrow. I do an email masterclass because I just think that this is a fundamental tool. And I have a team. I have 44 agents on my team nationally. And in every market we do business in, I get the same thing from agents. And you know, it's the challenge is to talk to more people, right? And nobody wants to work more hours. One of my coaches is Grant Cardone, who says that you need to 10 times. There's a little flag there, Grant Cardone. Well, here it is. Here's another one. His book, The 10X Strategy. Well, and I remember going to one of his programs in Florida a year and a half ago, and he said, well, whatever you're doing, just do 10 times more. I'm like, oh, my gosh, how do we do 10 times more? And so I actually put together an email program on how to guarantee to increase your reach 10 times. So if you're interested in that, check out my Linktree, linktr.ee/Bill Gross, or email me or text me. We're glad to share that with you. But just, and whether you do it with me or not, you need to be emailing everybody in your database you ever talk to every week minimum, and post on social media every week minimum. Like that's, as a real estate agent, that's the minimum. Now, if you're an architect or an attorney, maybe that's a different strategy. I would say not, but for sure as a realtor, there's no way once a week is too much. Absolutely not. I don't care what anybody says. And there's Jenny, works entire DFW market. Very good. Any other questions, challenges, comments? Anybody here currently in the Probate Mastery Program with questions on the program or where you're headed with all that? Feel free to raise your hand, put it in the chat box. If you're shy. I think you guys know by now, I'll call you out. And you're getting certified. Jenny, you're getting certified through the Probate Mastery Program?
Uh-huh.
Great. So how far in the process are you?
Paid. I paid.
You paid. Okay. Well, I'm gonna help you with this. Merely paying does not get you either A, the certification, or B, the education that you need to increase your business.
And yeah, I did it. I wanted to get it paid in 2023. So I did it at the end of the year. And great. I'm just trying to carve out that time. I'll probably start next week the classes.
Can I help you a little bit with that?
Huh?
Can I help you a little bit with that?
Yes.
A little free coaching?
Yes.
Okay. Don't usually try. Either do it or don't do it.
Oh, well, no, I'm going to do it because.
Okay. Well, how about this? Why don't you pull your calendar right now? Why don't you pull your calendar right now? Let's just book 1 hour to get started.
What?
Let's pull your calendar right now.
Okay.
Do it.
Just book 1 hour where you're going to get started on it. Like block out an hour, whatever works for you.
What does it cost, Bill?
Nothing. Open your calendar, book the appointment. Should we pay for the program? So it's free.
Yeah.
It's free $99. My favorite. So Jake, just right now, rather than saying I'm going to do it or thinking about doing it, okay. I believe when people say I'm thinking of doing something,
no, No, I really am. I have a big meeting tomorrow morning, and I, my focus has been on that. So, okay, I am going to.
Sure, but you can change it. You know, if your big meeting wipes out next week on Tuesday where you put this in your calendar, you can change it. But let's get it in your calendar so that you need to change it at least.
It's I'm putting it on Friday, this Friday at 10 o'clock.
Beautiful. Yeah, because I one of the things I find with people, we all do this. We all say, well, I'm going to think about it. No, you're really not.
Actually, it's been on my calendar. I just keep going past it. But, yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Okay, good. And come back the following week and tell us you've made some progress. We'll follow up with you, okay?
Yes, okay.
Hey, this has to be identified. This is going to be probably, I woke up at 2 a.m. the other morning and I just had an epiphany that this is going to be the biggest year for probate sales. I just don't know why. We've been ramping up, me and Bill, for the last 6 years of trying to figure out how to convert these deals. And it's just worth your every effort to wake up and try to figure out how to lead generate according to your personality to attract the right people to your business. And, this is the year to blow it up for us. So we've hovered around 30 to 40 probates a year. And I really want to go over like 75 this year. There's no reason we can't.
David, can you give me your phone number?
Yes, I'll text it.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. I've been in business since 1987. There has never been a better opportunity, for investors or for real estate agents. And there's a lot of reasons why. One is, you know, wherever there's fear and uncertainty, that if that paralyzes your competition, that's great. If it doesn't paralyze you. And there's no reason why, like, you know, I definitely talk a bit about, for example, the litigation and commissions, but it doesn't affect my business at all today. It has nothing to do with me. Other than competitors who are stuck talking about it instead of working on getting more business. And similar things, the rates, they're up, they're down, whatever. Either way, I people are still dying and need to sell the house. That's my world. It doesn't really matter. And for a lot of reasons. Another one is that COVID, I think, eliminated the office experience that new agents needed to grow. Like when we all started, those of us who have been around a while, most started in an office, a Century 21, a Coldwell Banker, or whatever, where there are other people around us. And that helped us grow. It helped us learn the business. We heard the phone powdered. We heard the scripting in actual use near us in the office. That got wiped out 3 years ago. And so there's not the 2 and 3 year veterans now challenging us for the business that there should be. They got wiped out. And for a lot of reasons, there's the lack of opportunity in the office. There's the, I think this next generation is not willing to do the hard work for a lot of reasons why. There's a lot to that. But at the end of the day, you know, I should have been forced out of the business a couple of years ago. I'm not. I'm better and stronger than I ever have been. And there's less competition, less quality competition than any time in my experience. And so for those of us who are willing to put in the work and willing to learn the material, there has never been a better opportunity to build a good business. And I'm not working more hours. I work a little bit less. I turn 65 next week. I have 2 grandkids I spend a lot of time with. My health is a priority. My exercise is a priority. But I work a good 35, 40 hours a week and make good money. And this is an opportunity for all of us. So Dave hits around the button. And hopefully you guys take advantage of it either with him or on your own, or reach out to me if I can help you, or probably Mastery, take another look at certification or another class to add to your business. But this is the time to learn and grow and push yourself. Mesa says that you are going to visit your local courthouse this week to try and meet the probate clerk and take him or her coffee. How nice. Macy, what county is that and what state?
Coos County, Southern Oregon Coast.
Coos County?
Coos County.
And that's in Sun Coast of Oregon. Very nice.
No, Southern Oregon Coast.
Southern Oregon Coast. Okay, very nice. Yeah. And bring them coffee. Everybody loves, you know, something, treats. Chocolate is also universal. See's candy, I found, would be the universal. Everybody loves a little treat or something. So in general, in large metro counties, you really can't meet the probate clerk. In smaller counties, I imagine Coos County is one of them, you can, and they're very valuable. And I know Courtney Rollins, I think he was on this call earlier. I saw him, he popped in and out. He's almost made a living going to the courthouse, meeting the clerks. They've referred him some business. He's done some social media of that. So please, Mason, go and tell us how it is. Come on next week and give us a report, okay?
Absolutely. I'm also going to be taking some marketing material to my local attorneys and my nursing homes.
Nice.
Nice.
But also, if you're going to go to the courthouse, shoot some video of yourself outside the courthouse talking about what you're going to do. Shoot some video afterwards, what you did do. There's some great content for social media. You know, realtors often say, I don't know what to do for content. But if you're going someplace like that, that's built in. Everyone wants to know about what you're doing when you're there. It's just a fantastic opportunity for you to put some things that will. And that's also a way to share with your non-probate COI, some influence, friends, family, that you're doing probate, right? You're going to the probate court. You met with a probate clerk. And they're going to go, that's funny. I didn't know you do probate. My cousin passed away, and I'm handling my aunt's estate. So there's your opportunity to get a couple good pieces of content for your social media video and email it out to everybody, okay?
Well, and I also pulled up on our courthouse calendar mm-hmm. a lot of the cases that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that there's actually, to my not understanding, but there's quite a few cases coming up. And when I looked at, I didn't realize that they were open court sessions. So I'm working on going in and sitting in and just listening in, because as a realtor, I'm on another case that's not technically probate, but I'm the referee on this other case. And we've gone to court 3 times and I've been on the stand and we've won all 3 cases so far. But what I didn't realize is that they actually give you a list of all of the different cases for probate. And they give you the dress attire and how to dress in court and everything. So I'm going to be visiting actual cases and listening in on how the judge handles it and what the attorneys say and stuff, so I can get real life experience in the courtroom, sitting as a guest.
I did that every day for, you know, 3-4 years and built a business really just going to court every day. Now, I didn't have glasses like that or a cap like that. But I would say, depending on how you want to be, you know, addressed, for me, I wanted attorneys to think of me as like I'm an attorney. And so I dressed like attorneys, as formal as I could.
Right.
Certainly you want to wear business attire, but you might think about, do you want to look like an attorney and go, you know, step up to that? Or is that not as important to you? You have to be consistent with yourself and what your goal is.
Right.
Definitely going to court, you will learn information that'll be valuable to your prospective clients and attorneys that may want to work with you. And to this day, I have information that most attorneys don't know about how to do business in LA County. So good for you. Report back. Let's know how it goes. Okay, Missy?
Absolutely.
And for another reason, come back wearing those glasses and that cap. I just think that's great. I love it. Okay, should make fun of her. I'm sorry. I just think it's a lot of fun. I saw her in the camera all along. I thought, that's a fun look. I could pull that off. If I was a woman, I guess I could.
And it's cold in here for the beanies. It's little, because it's raining here and it's a little chilly. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a beanie on. But I had to wear my pink for my colors. So,
hey, it was freezing here in LA this morning. It was 47 degrees. I almost put on a sweatshirt when I went outside. It was that cold. I thought, I'm wearing a long sleeve t-shirt, but I thought about putting on a sweatshirt. That's how freezing cold it was here.
Well, and it's cold here, but I have merch shirts too that are hoodies. So,
oh, hold on. Let's keep
I'm a walking advertisement with my shirt.
The Creed Jones Project. Put your shirt up again. Let's see one more time.
It's got the hashtag.
Oh, look at that.
And then the back side has the.
We can't see your green screen pops.
Oh, bummer. Okay. Well, the back has the shark on it. So
I see that. Now, look at you, like a whole marking.
Yep, and then there. It's got it on my beanie, too.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Okay, very good. Okay, well, we're not all quite up to that level, but Macy, please go to court and let us know how it works out, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, so I think we'll wrap up. I don't see any other questions or hands up, so I think we'll wrap up. Oh, there's of course, I see that. There's a hand that goes up. Jeremy Williams, what's up?
Hey, sorry, just log on. I was hoping to catch you guys real quick. I think last time we talked, I talked to you briefly that all of our court dates were kind of like 5 to 8 weeks out. I did talk to my broker here who said with the probate addendum and getting things listed that they're
you want to step in my car real quick?
Yeah. Hold on a second, let me get that. Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So they said they're okay for us to get listing agreement signed prior to, you know, PR being appointed, as long as we have that probate addendum signed. Is that something that you've seen allowed at other brokerages in the past?
And you're in California?
Yep.
Yeah. So what he's asking for those who aren't in California, we are the only state that I'm aware of, and I've asked, I think, almost every state today that actually has separate association realtor forms for probate, and including that we actually have a separate probate listing addendum and a probate a purchase agreement probate addendum as well, which, to my knowledge, no other state has those. So Jeremy's question is, when somebody files for a probate to be the personal representative, either administrator or executor, can we get a listing agreement signed by them? The obvious challenge is they don't have the legal authority to make a binding contract. They're asking the court to get the authority to act on behalf of the state, but technically they don't. The property is owned by the cedent, not by the personal representative. So I watched the official California Association Realtor Certification Program done by Paul Horn, who's the most prolific attorney in LA County, in Orange County, by volume of cases. And he says there that you can sign a listing agreement before they have the official authorization from the court, as long as you disclose to all parties it's not legally binding, which means you tell your customer, technically, if you want to fire me, you can just fire me. Whereas a normal listing agreement, we have to both agree to cancel. In this case, it's not binding. And as well, if you're going to put it in the multiple listing service, you would need to disclose to other agents that it's not under contract, because agents would otherwise rely on you having a contract. And they might say, hey, I don't want to bother because if you haven't signed authority yet, I don't want to wait around to get paid. Or maybe your commission is going to get cut. So agents have a legal right or obligation to disclose to other agents in MLS as well. And so the answer is, it really depends on your broker. Jeremy, what company are you with?
Caldwell Banker.
Got it.
And which I was kind of surprised. They're usually the corporate ones who won't allow for kind of some stuff like this. I was surprised to hear that they'd be okay with it.
I am too. I mean, not to knock them. I'm just saying, knowing the background, my assessment would be the same. So I would say then the next step is you need to go to your broker, unless you are the broker, and find out if the broker allows it. I'm with the XP. They do allow us, as long as we disclose it properly to all parties. But not, and I don't know that the broker would allow all agents at XP to do that. I got approval on mine when I did it once because it made sense for that case, and I went through with the broker on it. So I would say it's something you need to talk about your broker with as well. But as long as you disclose to everybody legally, you're allowed to do it. Just keep in mind that you don't have a legally binding contract. And so you're really relying on the goodwill of your client to honor or to continue to work with you once the process has been approved. The next question you would ask, I would think, is, okay, I went to court and the judge said, yes, you're authorized. At what point does it become legally binding? And that's a different question, because you can watch in court, you can hear the judge say you're approved. And in LA County, they go another step. They do what's called a minute order, where they actually issue like a memo that says the judge approved authority for, you know, whoever it was, Joe Smith, to be the, you know, administrator with full authority. But you don't have yet the official signed letters of authority. Now, you can't go to the bank and get into a bank account or get into a lockbox without a certified copy of the official letters. Do we need that in order to get signed a listing agreement? I think the answer is no. Now, some attorneys will say yes, because attorneys would have you wear 3 belts and 4 suspenders as long as it creates more work for you and not them. But I think legally speaking, if the judge in court says you're approved, you're approved. And at some point, you'll get some paperwork to verify that.
Yeah. Would you say you should have a new listing agreement signed once they are officially?
Yes. Approved? Yes. Get it all re-signed. 100%.
Okay.
100%. Because now it's binding at that point. It doesn't become binding once they get the authority. You have to re-sign everything afterwards. Good question.
Gotcha.
Okay. Jimmy, thanks. Hey, I got to run. I got 12 o'clock appointment is actually here. So I'm going to wrap this up real quick. I'm Bill Gross. We do this probate master call every Tuesday, 11 o'clock. a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Continue the conversation on the State Professional Mastermind on Facebook. Reach out to me if I can help you at Bill Gross Probate on social media. You guys have a great week. Thank you so much for everybody who participated. I appreciate your time.